Good afternoon, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Vilma. I am very, very well. Loving this nice weather and sunshine. Hopefully it stays for the weekend.
Yes. Oh, no, it will. It will. I'm always very positive and it certainly will. So don't worry about that. It ain't going anywhere. Now, we are always in a crisis when it comes to real estate at the moment because I don't think things are going to stay like this forever, and there's no such thing as ever anyway. So let's start a little bit about the auction clearance rate at the moment, and especially now coming into the spring selling season. Just give us an idea of what you think, what's happening.
Yes, we've always got lots to talk about, haven't we, Vilma, when it comes to real estate?
Yes.
Auction clearance rates this past week were at 83%, which is against 623 auctions. The week before, they were 80%, 660 auctions. And the same time last year, we had around similar 671 auctions, and it was at 76%. So people will notice that when we're through going through these colder winter months, there's not as many homes coming on the market for sale. So those type of auction numbers are standard, and you can get up into the 1100s, 1200s when we hit the spring selling season, which is only in about 6 weeks or so, actually. So what we have where we're in the 80s, we have a seller's market, because when it dips down into the 60%, then you've got a buyer's market. So it's interesting at the moment if you watch what's going on, because a lot of other states around Australia, their markets are quite buoyant and going up, and Melbourne, amongst a handful of others, are bucking the trend, and prices are actually down for July. We're down 0.4% for July, down 0.9% for the quarter, and we're up only 2.2% over the past 12 months. So things are, they're interesting at the moment, because I believe the shortage of stock that we have, which we generally do have through winter, is one of the key things that is underpinning prices at the moment, because prices overall are dropping at the moment.
Mm. Well, as long as the prices are dropping, I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it?
You know what's the funny thing, Vilma, when I talk to people, and when you're looking to buy, you want prices to drop. When you own a home, you want prices to go up.
Yes.
So I guess it's your point of view or your perspective that prices dropping are going to make things more affordable. But at the moment, we have such other pressures on cost of living that are playing a big part into people's decision-making around whether they're buying a home, if they've got a home, whether they need to upsize or downsize, whether they would sell that home to buy something else. Because the problem when there's not a lot of stock around is if you can't find something else to buy, well, then you're unlikely to put your home on the market. And it becomes this catch-22 where you don't move because you can't find anything. But because you're not moving, stock's not freeing up for people to be able to find something. So that's an interesting conundrum that happens in a market. Also, many, many investors right now, property investors here in Melbourne, who are landlords or rental providers, are really starting to feel the pinch with all of these government taxes that have been continually applied to people that do own a property that they rent out, including land tax, which is probably the biggest bang that's hit people most recently. So these factors are all playing a part in exacerbating the rental crisis, which we talk about all the time.
Mm. Yes, it's just becoming very difficult. I mean, even a one-bedroom, they're charging probably about $2 to $2.50. Very hard to get a reasonable sort of a shared rental for 150 or 160 or even 170. The minimum is about 200 and going forward. Yeah, so that's still quite a bit just for a room, if that makes any sense. And a home, to rent a home even around this neck of the woods, you're probably starting from 600 or 550 onwards.
Look, it's an interesting conundrum, and there's lots of people with lots of opinions around their thoughts on it, and you have differing opinions between people that own properties and people that are renting properties. And I've seen quite a few comments coming through from renters who are saying, if you can't afford to own the home, sell the home. Mm. And it's not as simplistic as that, because I don't know that they understand that when a home gets sold, that is, let's say you've got a property that you're renting out and for whatever reason, your personal circumstances, you decide to sell it because it's no longer a viable investment for you, or it's not making money for you, or whatever your reasons are. Mm. If that home is sold, there's absolutely zero guarantee it will remain in the rental pool. And so renters are saying, we'll sell the homes because that's going to have more homes available and that's going to cause prices to drop and everything. But that's not how real estate works. It's not how the market works. And many of those homes, which were rental properties, when they come on the market, they do get purchased by first home buyers. And I know that for a fact because we buy them for our first home buyer clients. But I don't think they're looking at the longer term view, which is that it is just purely exacerbating the crisis, making the crisis worse because there are fewer homes in which they can rent.
Yes.
That's what happens when they get sold. They don't always come back into the pool.
Mm, and that's not good, because the Victorian government recently announced even more costs for landlords with their new minimum rental standards. Well, what's all that about?
Ah, Vilma, I'm scratching my head. So yet more costs or taxes, if you like, that's probably how you can sum it up, from the Victorian government, looking to implement minimum rental standards. And what they're saying, it's to make the homes more user-friendly, that it's more energy efficient. So it's things like that houses have to have heating, they have to have cooling, they have to have ceiling insulation, they've got to be draft-proof, energy-rated shower heads, blinds have to have cords, all those types of things. And on the surface of it, that sounds great. The challenge is going to be for people that own these homes that are renting them out. Now, remember, we're not talking about massive landlord, overlord type people that have got these squillions of properties. A good proportion of people that have a home that they rent out are mum and dads that we just have been advised by perhaps their accountant for a way to make a little bit more money, get some tax breaks back because you can negatively gear the properties and claim back any expenses on the property. It's a way that people, it's like an asset class for somebody to be making money. So when the government comes out with these minimum rental standards and says, well, you've got to meet all of this criteria and if you don't, you'll be penalised, and like it's decent penalties that you will be charged, it makes it even harder for people to go, well, is it even worth me having an investment property anymore? And they sell up, and then that creates a crisis even more for the renters. But the figures that the government came out with as to how much this is going to cost a rental provider to fix up, their total for all the things they need you to do was just over $5,500. They estimated to replace a hot water system for $361. Now, I would like to see which trade's going to go out and the cost of a system is going to cost you $361, and that's it.
Just doesn't add up, does it?
It absolutely doesn't add up. So I'm not sure where the government gets these figures from, but they don't seem to be real-world figures, because trades cost a lot of money to even just to get them to do a call out. I don't know if anyone listening has tried to get a tradie out there and you've got a call out, but that could be $120 in itself.
Oh, no. Well, a good friend of mine had some problems with the plumbing with the toilet system because the water kept coming up. And he came at 9 o'clock today, 8 o'clock this morning, and I think he was probably there for about an hour or two from 8 till 10, or maybe just a bit less, either way. And it was roots wrapped around the pipes.
Right.
So that was the cause. But he charged her, which I thought was reasonable, $250. But that was just for an hour and a half's work. You tell me about a hot water system.
And they've estimated $361 total.
I don't think so.
To buy the unit and get someone out there to fit it for you.
Yeah, exactly. And mind you, this plumber's through a friend, so they would have got a bit of a discount, yeah?
Mains rates, yeah,
yeah,
probably.
Mains rates, yeah, exactly. So let's get on to the rights of rental providers. So, you know, like back in 2021, the government made changes to rules around no evictions without a reason. And so that's always been an issue when you want to vacate a property anyway. So, but now it's probably even harder still. So many rental providers are aware of the implications of these changes. So tell us, what do they need to know these days? Because things are always changing rules, and it seems to be that the renter has more rights than the actual landlord. So can you kind of put this into perspective for us a bit?
Spot on there, Vilma, spot on. So the government a few years ago changed the laws around the reasons for which you can ask a renter to leave the property. And I wanted to highlight this to people listening today because it's become very strict as to the reasons why, the only very minimal reasons that you can ask for a renter to leave your property. And they include to sell the property. So if you're selling the property, you have to get a sales authority from a real estate agent and issue that with the notice to vacate. This can only happen once it's not in a fixed lease. It has to be a month-to-month lease. If you're renovating the property or the property's going to be demolished, well, then that's a reason that you can ask someone to leave the property. Or if you're moving back in yourself or a family member, then you can ask someone to vacate the home. And you cannot rent it out for another 6 months. They're the only three reasons that you can ask someone to leave a rental property, unless it's the first 12 months of their lease, and at the 90-day mark, you can ask them to vacate the home. If it's a six-month lease, at the 60-day mark of an amount of time to go, you can ask them to vacate the home. But if someone is living on your property in their 12-month lease and you've missed that 90-day mark, as an example, let's say it's 60 days to go on your lease and you would want to ask the tenant to leave, you actually can't do it unless you're going to sell the home, renovate it, or move in yourself.
So really, at the end of the day, Who do you see happening with this availability of rentals? So give us some more insight.
I personally see that the rental crisis is just going to get worse. So you see people talking about landlords or rental providers putting up the rents, and they're saying it's ridiculous. How can they justify putting it up? Well, there's been, thankfully, interest rates were kept on hold this week, but there has been rate rise after rate rise after rate rise. There was over double figures of them all in a row, which is the cost of holding the property. Most people that have an investment property that they rent out, they do have a mortgage over it. Now, the banks expect to be paid. If we look back at what happened through COVID when there was rental relief was provided and renters did not have to pay their rent and they weren't expected after to pay their rent. From a rental provider perspective where you had a mortgage, you could go to your bank and you could ask for a hiatus or a hold, and the banks did that. However, the banks came calling and asked for that money to be repaid. So there are ongoing expenses when you own a property. And it comes back to what I said, renters saying, well, just sell the property. That is not the solution, because all you're doing is removing homes for renters to be able to live in. And so I see, with the government continuing to put cost after cost after cost on owning an investment property, which is what renters live in, with rental providers then being made to make a decision about, well, can they actually hold the property or do they need to sell it? It's just going to equal either higher rentals, because in order to hold a property, the likelihood is there's a rental provider, because they've got land tax, they've got these, we just talked about the new rules about what's required to keep your home energy efficient. So let's say if you've got, have a look around Brunswick, Coburg, how many Californian bungalow homes are there? And these were all built in the 1920s. They were built 100 years ago. How many of these homes are not going to allow drafts in? And now you've got to draft proof your entire home.
Well, a friend of mine has just bought a property in North Coburg, and it's a very rundown, needs a lot of work. But, they have to do a lot of work to this home. The stormwater needs to be redone. I think, kind of got it for a steal, but there are a lot of homes. Of course, these are elderly people that are moving out and just want to get out, maybe to get into retirement villages or whatever. Another one in Shorts Road sold for 650, and I think it was about 487 square, is it square metre? It's a kind of a reasonable size, I suppose. And that went for 650. I went to the auction just to have a look. Nobody bidded. No one. And it was just at the last minute, some young guy, very young, maybe in his 20s, put up his hand and said he offered another 10 because the auctioneer was saying, you know, I'll take another 1,000, I'll take another 2, whatever. He said he just put up his hand and went 10 and they stopped. They went inside, consulted, yabba dabba doo, came back out and said sold. I mean, some people have really bad situations with their homes, trying to sell it. They're also selling them off at a very low cost as well.
Mm. And when we talk about these new minimum rental standards, you have to get an audit done, and the companies that do the audits charge, depending on the size of the house, they charge anywhere from $250 to $400.
Yes.
So there's another cost.
That's right. And also to having a rental property, there's a lot of regulations, like you said, you know, the plumbing, the gas, making sure even your fans, the electrical. There's a lot of new standard rules which weren't implicated before, but now it is. It's like a checklist. So even owning a rental property is a lot of money. And like you said, if you are selling up your rental property, well, that makes room for more housing. But I think we are in a slight dilemma, wouldn't you think?
Absolutely agree with you, Vilma. And the people that are going to be impacted by this are the vulnerable and the elderly.
Yes, absolutely. So it is a very frightening time for people and buyers and sellers and rentals. My heart goes out to landlords. They really do. If you've got a good cash flow, you might cover yourself with the rental properties and all the outgoings. But also too, last time we spoke about that some councils, we won't name them, but of course there are councillors out there or councils that are out there that are wanting to charge double for your rates for rental properties. I mean, really?
You know what I saw the other day, Vilma? Do you know on the Gold Coast they charge a tax for the view?
Oh, my God. I mean, really? Really?
Really? If you've got a view, they charge you a tax for it.
Yeah, but I mean, that to me is just utterly ridiculous. It's so unnecessary. And yet they know people are struggling out there, yet they're still, you know, badgering on trying to get money from some shape or form. Well, you know, maybe if they didn't lose, you know, $250 million for allowing certain games to come to the country and then just scrapping it. I mean, the amount of money that they've lost over the couple of years after COVID with certain expectations that they wanted to do with constructions and games that they were going to do. I mean, that's, you know, it's probably in excess of $500 million.
It's more than that, Vilma. Do you remember
when they
came into office and they cancelled the East-West Link and there was over $1 billion penalty?
Yeah.
With a B.
Yeah, with a B, there you go. So that money could have been injected to more homes. We have a lot of land here in Victoria. Come on, guys, you know, think about people. I mean, you know, we all pay our taxes. You know, a lot of people say, oh, well, I don't pay taxes. Well, your super does, and they're still getting money out of you anyway, you know, at 15%. So everybody's still paying tax, whether you're, you know, in super or not, or you're retired. So they'll get you somehow. But it's madness.
They do, Vilma.
Yes.
Think about it. There's tax on alcohol. There's tax on cigarettes. There's tax on petrol. There's...
I have to tell you, Wendy, it was, I don't smoke, but recently I went in and they had the board up, because you know how when you go into the shops they close the board so you can't see the cigarettes? Well, the lady opened up the board and I saw a packet of cigarettes, probably for 20, 25 cigarettes, can go right up to about $60, $65, $45.
I mean,
that's a lot of money. Now imagine if you smoke two packets a week.
Wow, that is a lot, isn't it? Wow.
Oh, that's a disgrace. Well, anyway, if you want a free e-book on the website, you can go to chamberlainadvocates.com.au/northwestfm. Wendy Chamberlain, of course, Chamberlain Property Advocates. You can do an inquiry because we're running out of time, but Wendy does have a new podcast, which I sometimes listen to, and it's called Property Mama, and it's the adventures and the shenanigans that go on in real estate. Also, a great tool for you to go to, which is called Get Start in Property, and it's an online mentoring program. Absolutely something that you should listen to before you start getting yourself involved in investments in property. It's a good learning tool as well. And as we know, Wendy is a property advocate and also a selling advocate as well. So she has been in the industry for well over 30 years. She does have podcast, international best-selling author, speaker, and of course a licensed estate agent, but very recognised in the industry. She's done the ABC, all the stations, all the network, Sky Channel, you name it, and she's very well respected. So please, if you do have any inquiries, inquire at chamberlainadvocates.com.au, and don't forget the ebook as well. It is free, doesn't cost anything, and it's chamberlainadvocates.com.au/northwestfm. Well, thank you for your time today. It is greatly appreciated as usual. My next guest will be joining me at 1, but have a nice sunny weekend ahead of you. I know that we'll be speaking again. It's always a great pleasure, and you've been with me now for quite a few years, and it's always appreciated, Wendy.
Thanks, Vilma. I think it's been 6 or 7 years now.
Yes, and we've both gone through the volatility of how the market trend has been going. Isn't it right?
Hasn't it?
Yes.
Hasn't it? It's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone sideways, but we're there to report on it.
Absolutely, and that's what it's all about. Well, you have a great week ahead of you. Enjoy the sunlight and especially enjoy the gardening.
Brilliant. Thanks, Vilma.
My pleasure, as always. Have a great afternoon. Bye for now.